You know, usually when we talk about a medical diagnosis, there's this expectation of, like, absolute clinical precision.
Oh, sure. You want a clear answer.
Exactly. Like, you break your arm, the x-ray shows that stark, jagged white line across the bone, and the doctor just points at the screen and says, well, there it is. That's the problem.
Right. It's incredibly binary. It's either broken or it's not.
Yeah, you don't have to sit there and debate the existence of the fracture. It's just a fact.
And, you know, the human brain really craves that kind of certainty. We rely on that visible, easily categorized data to make us feel like we have control over a situation.
All right, especially when it involves, like, pain or recovery.
Exactly, but then...
And then you step into the world of real estate economics.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And suddenly that x-ray machine is totally malfunctioning. We're looking at a diagnostic landscape that is, wow, it's just incredibly murky right now.
It really is.
You've got these data points pulling in completely opposite directions. You know, leading indicators are flashing red while the lagging indicators are flashing green.
Right. And everyone is trying to read the exact same blurry scan to figure out what their net worth is actually doing.
Which is terrifying.
It is. Because the stakes are, I mean, arguably just as high as a physical injury. For the average person, a primary residence is the absolute cornerstone of their financial health.
Yeah.
So when the data contradicts itself, like when prices are up month over month but down year to date, it just breeds this this total paralysis.
People just freeze.
Exactly. They don't know whether to list their home, buy a new one, or just, you know, stay put and wait it out.
And that paralysis is exactly why we are here. Welcome to the Deep Dive. We are so thrilled you're joining us today.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it is late June 2026. We are officially in the absolute peak of the summer moving season.
The busy season.
Oh, yeah. The Texas heat is definitely here. The kids are out of school. And with 4th of July barbecues literally just around the corner next week.
I can already smell the brisket.
Right. We know exactly what is going to happen. You're going to be standing around a grill, holding a paper plate, and the neighborhood chatter is inevitably like 100% guaranteed going to turn to the housing market.
It's essentially replaced baseball as the great American pastime.
It really has.
Mm-hmm.
We just love debating property values and zoning and interest rates.
We do. But our mission today is to make sure that when you are at that barbecue, you aren't just, you know, trading unverified rumors.
Or panicking over those sensationalized national headlines.
Exactly. We are decoding the exact ground truth state of the Denton County real estate market.
Denton County specifically.
Yes. Drawing on the newly released May 2026 data. We really want to separate the actual signal from all that pervasive noise.
And to do that, we have brought a massive, highly specific stack of documents to the table today.
A very heavy stack.
Yeah, we are not messing around. We are drawing from the NTRIS local market update for May 2026, the Texas A&M MLS summary report.
Which is always so dense.
Oh, incredibly dense. Plus the Q1 2026 MarketWatch report and the DFW mortgage rate intelligence report.
All the heavy hitters.
Right. But plus, and I think this is honestly the most crucial piece of the puzzle, we have tactical boots-on-the-ground insights from the Denton County Real Estate Market Playbook.
Oh, that's a great resource.
It really is. It features the direct field experience of David Pete, who is a 12-year local veteran of the North Texas market.
And blending those sources is critical, you know, because the macroeconomic quantitative data from Texas A&M.
The spreadsheets.
Right, the spreadsheets. They give us that high-level, sterile mathematical truth. But David Pete's playbook provides the qualitative, street-level reality.
The human element.
Exactly. It tells us how buyers and sellers are actually behaving in the living room during a negotiation, especially having survived the unprecedented market roller coasters of the last decade.
Okay, let's unpack this, because if you scroll through national news feeds right now, the narrative is incredibly polarized.
It's either boom or bust.
Yeah. The housing market is either on the verge of a historic collapse, or it's quietly rebounding to stratospheric new heights. There's no middle ground in the headlines.
Which is why local data is so important.
Right, because looking at this stack of local data, the actual headline for Denton County right now in mid-2026 is, it's stability.
Stability.
Which I have to admit sounds incredibly boring.
Well, in the context of the last few years, boring is a magnificent achievement.
I guess that's fair.
It really is. The numbers tell a story of a market holding its ground. So let's look at the actual transaction volume. In May 2026, Denton County saw exactly 1,444 closed single-family home sales.
Okay, so 1,444 families packed up moving trucks and finalized their purchases last month.
Exactly.
How does that compare to the historical baseline? Like, where were we a year ago?
If we rewind exactly 1 year to May 2025, that number was 1,463.
Wait, 1,463 down to 1,444. We are talking about a difference of what, 19 homes?
Just 19 homes.
In a massive county of nearly a million people, 19 fewer homes sold year over year. That is like a 1.3% dip.
Basically nothing.
Yeah. Statistically, that is a rounding error. It's essentially perfectly flat.
And that's why you have to be careful. A single rainy weekend or, you know, a slight shift in when the local school districts ended their academic year.
Oh, sure.
That could easily delay 19 closings from May into the first week of June. That's why relying on a single month of data is always dangerous.
Because it's just a tiny snapshot.
Right. To get the true pulse, we have to look at the year-to-date or the YTD numbers through May.
Okay, so what do those say?
When we analyze the cumulative volume of 2026 so far, closed sales are actually up 1.4%.
Oh, up.
Yeah. We're looking at 5,861 closed sales this year compared to 5,780 during the exact same period in 2025.
I mean, I am looking at this 1.4% increase, and I'm struggling to see why we should celebrate
it. You think it's too small?
Well, yeah. It's barely positive. A 1.4% gain in transaction volume doesn't sound like a robust, thriving market to me. It sounds stagnant.
What's fascinating here is that context defines the victory. You have to look at what's happening outside of Denton.
Okay, lay it out for me.
The broader environment surrounding Denton County is incredibly challenging right now. David Peet's playbook extensively documents this overall market softness that's blanketing North Texas.
Right, because of the rates.
Exactly. Buyers are fatigued, and we have elevated interest rates actively suppressing purchasing power.
It's expensive to borrow money.
Very. And when you look at the surrounding counties in the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex, several of them are experiencing meaningful and, in some cases, rather sharp year-over-year sales declines.
They are actually shrinking.
They are contracting, yes. So Denton County is defying that regional gravity by simply treading water and inching up that 1.4%.
So the fact that we aren't shrinking like our neighbors is the win?
Precisely.
I kind of visualize it like a marathon runner.
Okay, I like that.
Because for the past 2 or 3 years, really, since the initial pandemic shock, the housing market was running at this chaotic, absolute dead sprint.
Oh, it was wild.
It was totally unsustainable. Your lungs are burning. Your legs are giving out. What we are seeing now in May 2026 isn't the runner collapsing on the side of the road.
No, not at all.
It's the runner finally catching their breath and settling into like a sustainable, steady 8-minute mile pace.
The market has resynchronized its breathing. We've transitioned from that panic-induced momentum to fundamental endurance.
Well, wait, hold on. If I am considering selling my house in Denton or maybe buying one and I hear the word stability, I get a little suspicious.
How so?
Is this stability just a temporary pause before another drop? Like, is the runner just stopping at a water station before completely cramping up and hitting the wall? Or have we actually found solid, reliable ground?
We found solid ground, and the structural desirability of the area is what provides it.
Because people still want to live here.
Exactly. This is an artificial stability created by, say, a temporary government tax credit or some sudden fleeting drop in interest rates.
Right.
The core reasons people move to Denton County, the quality of the school districts, the steady march of corporate relocations pushing north along the tollway corridors from Dallas.
The infrastructure.
Yes. The sheer volume of new infrastructure. Those magnets haven't lost their pull.
That makes sense.
If this were a temporary pause before a cliff, the year-to-date transaction numbers would be cratering as the months progressed. Instead, they are holding that slight 1.4% gain. Denton just has a much thicker, more diversified economic foundation than some of the purely speculative outlying submarkets that are contracting right now.
Okay, so the volume of homes changing hands is steady. The pulse is strong. But the deeper we dig into these reports, the more confusing the actual dollars and cents become.
Ah, the pricing.
Yeah, the pricing data here is a massive paradox. It feels like we have a two-speed market operating simultaneously.
Disentangling the pricing metrics is arguably the most crucial thing we can do today.
It's a mess.
It is. Buyers and sellers can look at the exact same summary page, cherry-pick two different numbers, and come away with completely opposite and completely flawed market views.
Okay, let's lay out the raw numbers so you can see why this is so confusing. Let's look at the May 2026 median sales price. It hit $460,000.
All right.
That is a 1.3% increase from May 2025, which sat at $454,000. So surface level, modest appreciation, prices are up, the sky is blue.
Right, for the 31-day window of May, that is the reality.
And then you zoom out. The year-to-date median taking every home sold from January 1st through May 31st of 2026 is $433,000.
A big drop.
Yeah, that is down 3.8% from the same period in 2025. And if you go back to the Q1 2026 MarketWatch report looking at just the first 3 months of the year, the median was even lower.
It was.
It was $425,000, which is a significant 5.4% decline from Q1 of 2025.
But wait, there's more.
Right. To add one more layer of statistical chaos, the Texas A&M MLS summary report noted that the average price in April spiked to $549,508. That kind of numerical whiplash is exactly why people feel so uneasy.
I'm getting dizzy just reading it.
But it actually makes perfect logical sense when you map those numbers to human behavior, the calendar year, and, well, basic statistics.
You're going to have to unpack that for me, because right now I see a median dropping to 425K, a YTD average sinking, a May recovery to 460K, and an April average shooting up to nearly 550K.
Mm-hmm.
How do those all exist in the same reality?
Let's start with the difference between median and average, because that April spike to $549,000 is a classic statistical trap.
A trap.
Yes. The median is the exact middle point of all sales. Half the homes sold for more, half sold for less. It represents the typical home.
Right. It throws out the extremes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the average is total dollar volume divided by the number of homes. In April, we likely saw a handful of ultra-luxury multi-million-dollar estates close.
Oh, I see.
Those few massive transactions artificially pull the average way up, but they don't significantly move the median. That's why the $549,000 average is noise, not signal.
Okay, so we throw out the April average. It's distorted by a few mansions.
Yep, toss it.
That leaves us with the medians. 425K in Q1, 433K year to date, and 460K in May.
Right. And here's where the calendar comes in. The early months of 2026 were undeniably a soft patch.
Winter's usually slow anyway, right?
It is, but we were dealing with lingering rate shocks from late 2025, that typical winter sluggishness, and a genuine buyer strike.
Strike.
People were frustrated by affordability and simply stepped back. They just stopped shopping.
So who was buying then?
Very few people. And the sellers who had to sell in January and February, perhaps due to a job relocation or a divorce, they had to accept lower offers.
Because there was no competition.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That dynamic pulled the Q1 median down to $425,000. And because Q1 represents 3 of the 5 months we've had so far this year, it heavily drags down that year-to-date average of $433,000.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. It's like evaluating the weather.
Oh, I like where this is going.
If you take the average temperature of January and June, you might get a nice mild 65 degrees on paper.
Sure.
But you absolutely cannot use that 65-degree average to decide what to wear in late June.
No, you'd be sweating.
Exactly. January was freezing. June is hot. The spring selling season, April and May, has seen a distinct, undeniable firming up of prices, pushing the immediate median back up to $460,000.
And that spring bounce is a powerful psychological and economic mechanism.
Why does it happen so reliably?
Families want to move when school is out so their children can settle before the fall semester. The landscaping looks better, making homes more appealing. There are more daylight hours for showings after work.
It's just easier to shop for a house.
It really is. Buyers who successfully sat on the fence during the cold reality of January suddenly look at the calendar and realize that if they want to be unpacked in a new house by August, they have to put a house under contract right now.
The ticking clock.
That urgency is exactly what firms up the pricing.
But wait. If the year-to-date average is still down nearly 4%, aren't the sellers who closed in May for $460,000 just getting lucky?
Lucky.
Yeah. Did they just catch the one sunny week in a rainy month? Because if you are sitting in your living room in Denton County right now and you need to list your house tomorrow, how on earth do you price it?
That is the million-dollar question.
Do you price it for the $425,000 winter reality to guarantee a sale? The $433,000 YTD average, or the $460,000 May peak?
This is exactly where David Peet's playbook becomes an essential survival guide. You cannot, as a seller, look at the May $460,000 median and assume it's a permanent, rock-solid guarantee for your specific property going into July.
So it's not a guarantee.
Not at all. The broader market is still in the process of absorbing the softness we saw earlier in 2026. The psychological urgency of the spring bounce is real, but it is constantly dawdling the mathematical reality of 6.5% mortgage rates.
So if the market is this delicate, pricing your home accurately isn't just a suggestion, it's the only steering wheel you actually have.
It is the most vital, unforgiving tool a seller possesses today. If a seller gets greedy...
And they always want to.
Of course they do. If they try to price their typical Denton home at $480,000 because they heard a rumor about an April spike, or because they are clinging to those crazy 2021 valuations.
Oh, 2021 is gone.
Long gone. If they overprice, they will simply sit on the market. The listing will become stale. Buyers will start to assume something is physically wrong with the property.
Like, why hasn't this sold? The roof must be caving in.
Exactly. The playbook dictates that pricing must be surgically precise, reflecting only the immediate comparable sales in your specific neighborhood from the last 30 to 60 days. You cannot price based on a countywide hope and prayer.
Right. You can't price based on the weather report from February, and you can't price based on the weather you hope happens in August. You have to look out the window today and price for exactly what the temperature is right now.
And the consequences of missing the mark today are severe, which is why understanding the mechanics of supply is our next logical step.
Let's get into supply.
Because the reason sellers have to be so precise is inextricably linked to how much competition they have on the market.
Inventory. It's been the most dramatic, anxiety-inducing word in real estate for half a decade.
It really has.
For years, it felt like there was a literal famine of housing. You'd go to an open house on a Saturday, and there were like 70 people lined up down the driveway, cars parked halfway down the street.
It was an era of profound scarcity that broke all our historical models.
Well, according to the IntreiCE local market update for May 2026, Denton County currently has 5,716 active listings.
Right.
And here's that word stability echoing again. That number is essentially flat compared to May of 2025. It's an increase of just 0.4%. We have a consistent pool of about 5,700 homes available.
And that specific number of active listings equates to exactly 4.7 months of supply.
Okay, we need to translate 4.7 months of supply into plain English because it sounds like a weird abstract math problem.
It does.
If I understand the metric correctly, it means that if every single homeowner in Denton County refused to list another house starting tomorrow, it would take exactly 4.7 months for the current pace of buyer demand to purchase all 5,716 available homes.
That is the exact mathematical definition. And in the mechanics of real estate economics, 4.7 months of supply is what analysts consider the Goldilocks zone.
Not too hot, not too cold.
Exactly. It is a remarkably healthy environment. A true, perfectly neutral market where neither the buyer nor the seller has a distinct systemic advantage is generally defined as having between 5 and 6 months of supply.
Okay.
Anything under 3 months is a severe seller's market, where scarcity drives up prices. Anything over 6 or 7 months shifts heavily into a buyer's market where a glut of inventory forces sellers to slash prices to compete.
So where does 4.7 put us?
Sitting at 4.7 months means the market leans ever so slightly in favor of the seller, but not nearly enough to cause panic or frantic bidding wars.
It's like a perfectly managed grocery store.
How so?
When you walk down the cereal aisle, the shelves aren't completely stripped bare, like a blizzard is coming, which is exactly what 2021 felt like.
Oh, perfectly said.
You actually have choices.
Yeah.
You can debate between the Honey Nut Cheerios or the Raisin Bran. You can look at three different houses in the same neighborhood.
You don't have to just grab whatever is left.
Right. But at the same time, the inventory isn't just sitting there expiring in the aisles gathering dust. The store is busy, things are moving, but there's enough product on the shelf to prevent a riot at the checkout line.
That grocery store analogy perfectly captures the mechanism at work here. And this specific 4.7 month balance is the exact mechanical reason that Denton prices haven't slid further into the negative.
Really?
Yes. Think about it. If the supply were sitting at 8 months, that $425,000 median we saw in Q1 would have become the permanent reality, and it would likely have kept dropping.
Because sellers would be panicking.
They would be staring at massive competition and would have had to actively cut prices to attract a shrinking pool of buyers. But because the supply is carefully contained just under 5 months, prices have been able to hold the line and rebound.
But we have to acknowledge that we are talking about Denton County as a whole, and Denton has a very distinct, almost schizophrenic split personality geographically.
Very true.
You've got the highly suburban master plan communities in the south and east places brushing up against the Dallas and Frisco borders.
Very dense.
Right. But then you drive north and west and the concrete just stops. It gets rural incredibly fast. The data for the farm and ranch segment is a completely different reality.
Oh, the data there doesn't even look like it belongs in the same state, let alone the same county.
The Texas A&M MLS summary report isolates this. In the rural farm and ranch segment for Denton County, there were just 13 total transactions in April. 13. And the average price for those transactions was $1.34 million. But here is the number that made my jaw drop. The farm and ranch segment currently sits on a massive 19.9 months of supply.
Approaching 2 full years of standing inventory.
Wait, 19.9 months, almost 2 years? If I've got a 5-acre property with a nice custom home out near Crum or Sanger, and I want to sell, 19.9 months sounds like an eternity.
It is a long time.
Why is there such a massive gaping disconnect between a suburban home with 4.7 months of supply and a piece of land with basically 20 months?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, to understand the disconnect, you have to look at the underlying mechanics of luxury and niche asset financing.
Okay, tell me about the financing.
The buyer pool for a $460,000 four-bedroom home in a highly rated suburban school district is vast. It encompasses growing families, young professionals, and out-of-state corporate relocation.
Right, a huge chunk of the population.
But the buyer pool for a $1.34 million ranch, on the other hand, is microscopic.
Because it's not just about wanting space. It's about the financial mechanics of acquiring it. You can't just walk into a bank and get a standard 3% down FHA loan for a sprawling working ranch.
Exactly. The capital requirements are entirely different. Lenders often require significantly larger down payments for agricultural or large acreage properties. Plus, the maintenance and insurance costs are exponentially higher. But the real killer mechanism here is the interest rate. When interest rates sit at 6.5%, borrowing $1 million costs an absolute fortune in monthly interest alone.
Just burning cash.
Right. It prices out the aspirational buyers. So the buyer pool shrinks dramatically. And when the buyer pool shrinks, but the physical land available for sale remains constant, the months of supply skyrockets relative to the diminished demand.
So what happens to the negotiating leverage in a scenario with 20 months of supply? Who holds the cards?
The leverage transfers almost violently to the buyer. If you are one of the rare, fully qualified buyers looking for a farm and ranch property in Denton right now, you hold every single card at the table.
You can just take your time.
You can take months touring properties. You can negotiate aggressively on the asking price. You can demand extensive seller concessions like repairing fences or updating barns before closing.
And the seller just has to take it.
For the seller, the situation demands extreme patience. You cannot price a ranch property aggressively and expect a quick 30-day close. The playbook is brutally honest here. You must calibrate your expectations for a very long marketing period, potentially stretching across multiple seasons.
That is a tough reality check for a landowner, but understanding that 20-month timeline is vital so they don't panic when they don't have an offer after 3 weeks.
Managing expectations is everything.
Which actually brings us to the human element of all this across both the suburban and rural markets. Let's look at the pipeline of buyers, because the data here reveals a really fascinating shift in human endurance and behavior.
Yes, the pending sales data is arguably the most important leading indicator we have in these reports.
Why is that?
Because closed sales tell us what happened 30 to 45 days ago. They are history. Pending sales homes that are currently going under contract tell us what is happening on the ground today.
Okay, so looking at the May 2026 pending sales, they were actually down 6.6% compared to last year. Only 1,379 contracts were signed.
Right.
If you just saw that specific headline, you'd immediately assume the buyers are fleeing the market. But again, the cumulative year-to-date data rescues us.
It paints a different picture.
Yeah. YTD pending sales are actually up 3.5%. That's 6,720 contracts signed through May.
The cumulative pipeline proves that buyers are still very active despite the rate environment. That 3.5% gain year-to-date sets a highly solid, reliable foundation for the summer months.
So we aren't crashing.
No, it mathematically guarantees that the closings we will see reported in June and July are going to remain healthy. The pipeline is fully stocked.
The pipeline is stocked. But the speed at which that pipeline is moving has fundamentally changed. Let's look at days on market, or DOM.
This is a big shift.
In May, Home sat for 54 days on average. That's actually a tiny bit faster than last year. But year to date, the average is 65 days, a 14% increase from 2025. And in Q1, it was a sluggish 75 days.
Right.
Plus, sellers in May got 95.7% of their original list price. So what does this all mean? Selling a home in Denton County right now is exactly like slow cooking a brisket.
Oh, I love a brisket analogy.
You absolutely cannot rush the process. You prep it, you put it on the smoker, you monitor the temperature, and then you just have to wait.
You can't poke it every 5 minutes?
No. You can't crank the heat to 500 degrees and expect it to be done in an hour. You'll just burn the outside and ruin the meat. You have to let it cook for 65 days.
It takes discipline.
But my question is, what is the mechanism causing this delay? Are buyers suddenly getting incredibly picky, or are they just exhausted from the last few years and taking their sweet time because they can?
It is an economic reality check driven directly by the cost of capital. Consider the mechanism of a mortgage. When rates were at 3% during the pandemic, money was essentially free.
It really felt like monopoly money.
It did. Buyers could afford to rush their decisions because the monthly payment penalty for overpaying by $20,000 to win a bidding war was negligible, maybe an extra $80 a month.
You wouldn't even notice it.
Today, at 6.5%, the math is brutal. Every single $1,000 added to the purchase price inflicts real, noticeable pain on a family's monthly budget.
So they slow down.
Because the financial stakes are higher, buyers are slowing down to mitigate their risk. They are doing thorough due diligence. They are paying for extensive inspections.
They're actually thinking about it.
They are visiting the house at different times of day to check traffic noise. They're actually driving the commute to Dallas during rush hour before signing.
They're acting like normal, rational human beings making the largest financial decision of their lives instead of treating the housing market like a gamified day trading app on their phone.
The weekend bidding war era is unequivocally dead. You can no longer stick a sign in the yard on a Friday afternoon, go away to the lake for the weekend, and return on Sunday evening to review 15 offers over asking price with all contingencies waived.
Those days are over.
The preparation of the asset matters immensely now. The home must be meticulously prepped. The paint must be fresh. The staging must be thoughtful. It takes 50 to 70 days for a listing to find the exact right buyer who is fully qualified and comfortable taking on the monthly payment at current interest rates.
The 65-day wait sounds agonizing for a seller used to hearing stories about homes selling in hours, but, and I think this is the most comforting, crucial statistic in the entire packet, when they do find that buyer, they're still getting paid.
Yes, they are.
That 95.7% list-to-sale ratio is monumental.
That ratio is the linchpin holding the entire narrative of stability together. It proves that while buyers are taking longer to commit, they are not leveraging that time to force massive, desperate concessions on the sellers.
So they aren't lowballing aggressively.
Not successfully, anyway. If a seller lists a home at $460,000, and they actually did the hard work to make the home worth $460,000, they are generally walking away from the closing table with about $440,000 to $450,000.
Which is still great.
It proves there is no systemic market crash happening in Denton. The patience premium is very real. If you have the fortitude to endure the 65-day slow cook, you will likely get your target price.
Well, we've danced around the edges of it long enough. We have to address the elephant in the room.
Let's do it.
The macro climate. The massive, intimidating economic forces that are ultimately dictating what happens on the doorsteps of Denton County. Because you cannot separate a three-bedroom house in Texas from the actions of a bond trader on Wall Street right now.
Real estate is intensely local in its execution. It's about the neighborhood, the schools, the local property taxes, but the financing of that real estate is intensely global.
The DFW Mortgage Rate Intelligence Report pegs the 30-year conventional mortgage rate locally at 6.52%. Now, obviously, that is a jarring number if you are still anchoring your expectations to the pandemic lows of 2.8%. But contextually, it does offer some welcome relief from the terrifying peaks we saw in early 2026 and late 2025, when rates were flirting with the 8% threshold.
8% was terrifying for a lot of people.
Yeah.
To understand why the rate has settled at 6.52%, we have to look beneath the surface at the 10-year Treasury yield.
The Treasury yield.
Yes. The 10-year Treasury is currently acting as a rigid concrete floor just above the 4% mark.
Let's pause and unpack the mechanics of that, because I think a lot of people hear 10-year Treasury yield and their eyes immediately glaze over.
Oh, absolutely.
How does a government bond yield halfway across the country dictate the mortgage rate on my house in Denton? I conceptualize it like the 10-year treasury is the inescapable gravity of the housing market. It pulls everything back down to earth.
The gravity analogy is incredibly accurate. Here's the mechanism of how it actually works. When you get a 30-year mortgage from your local bank, the bank rarely holds on to that loan for 30 years.
Right, they sell it.
They bundle your mortgage with thousands of others and sell them to global investors as mortgage-backed securities. Those global investors have choices. They can invest their money in your bundled mortgages, or they can invest in a 10-year U.S. Treasury bond.
And the Treasury bond is safer, right?
The Treasury bond is considered the safest investment on the planet because it is guaranteed by the United States government. It is essentially risk-free.
So the investor compares the two options.
Exactly. If the risk-free Treasury bond is paying a 4% return, the investor is going to demand a significantly higher return, say 6.5%, to take on the inherent risk of a homeowner potentially defaulting on their mortgage or paying it off early.
That makes total sense.
The distance between the Treasury yield and the mortgage rate is called the spread, and it is relentlessly enforced by the free market. Therefore, mathematically, until the 10-year Treasury yield drops significantly below 4%, your local mortgage rate is physically prevented from dropping down to the 4 or 5% rate.
So the floor is set by the bond market. The mechanics of that make perfect sense. The floor is locked. And what is keeping that Treasury yield hovering above 4%? The report notes that bond yields are staying high because global investors are rattled by ongoing, unresolved conflicts in the Middle East.
When the globe is stressed by geopolitical conflict or supply chain disruptions, fear of inflation rises. Global investors seek a safe haven for their capital, which affects the yield of government bonds.
Everything is connected.
It is. When those bond yields stay high, the mortgage spread dictates that mortgage rates stay high. It is a direct, unavoidable chain reaction from a headline across the world straight to a closing table in Denton County.
And this global chain reaction creates the infamous locked-in effect locally.
Right. Consider a family who bought a house in Denton in 2021 and secured a 3% mortgage rate. Their monthly payment is incredibly low, heavily subsidizing their lifestyle.
They're very comfortable.
Very. But if they want to sell that house today to buy a slightly larger house across town at the current 6.52% rate, their monthly payment might literally double, even if the purchase price of the new house is exactly the same as the old one.
Double the payment for the same price house.
They cannot afford the new capital costs. So these homeowners are simply refusing to sell unless a major life event, a divorce, a death, a sudden out-of-state job relocation forces their hand. They are financially locked into their low rate.
Which means they aren't listing their homes.
This mechanism is exactly what is artificially keeping the active inventory number pinned at 5,716 instead of expanding to a more historical 10,000.
Which in turn keeps the supply tight, which keeps the prices from crashing. It's an endlessly reinforcing closed loop.
It really is.
But here is the massive curveball in the data stack. The Texas A&M forecast suggests that if inflation stays near target levels, we could see mortgage rates ease down into the 5.0% to 5.6% range by late 2026 or early 2027.
That is the consensus forecast many economic models are currently predicting as the Federal Reserve potentially shifts its posture.
This raises a massive flashing red light strategic question.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
If you are listening to this and you are currently touring houses in late June at a 6.52% interest rate, and you just heard that Texas A&M thinks rates might drop to 5.2% by Christmas, why on earth would you buy a house now?
It sounds counterintuitive.
Right. Why wouldn't you just rent an apartment for 6 months, save yourself hundreds of dollars a month in interest payments, and buy the house in December when the money is cheaper?
This raises an important question, and it is the most common strategic puzzle David Peet addresses in his playbook. Waiting for rates to drop sounds flawlessly logical on an individual spreadsheet.
It looks great on paper.
But it completely ignores the mechanism of market timing and mass psychology. You have to remember that you are not the only person reading the Texas A&M forecast.
Everyone is reading it.
There are literally thousands of sideline buyers across the Dallas-Fort Worth region right now, sitting in leased apartments, stubbornly waiting for the magical number 5 to appear at the front of the mortgage rate ticker.
Right, if everyone is waiting for the exact same starting gun.
The moment rates drop to 5.2%, the floodgates will violently open. Thousands of buyers will rush back into the market simultaneously. And what happens when buyer demand suddenly spikes by 30%? But inventory remains somewhat constrained because it takes months to build new homes.
prices shoot up instantly. The 4.7 months of supply evaporates, and the vicious bidding wars of 2021 come roaring back.
If you wait for the rate to drop to save money on interest, you will almost certainly end up paying $30,000 or $40,000 more for the physical house itself because you are suddenly competing with 10 other families who also waited.
That wipes out the interest savings entirely.
And here is the golden rule of real estate mathematics. You can never, ever change the purchase price of your home once you close. You are stuck with that principal balance. But if you buy now at 6.52%, you possess leverage. You can use this perfectly balanced 4.7-month inventory window to negotiate effectively.
Walk me through the actual mechanics of that negotiation.
Yeah.
How does a buyer use this window to offset the pain of the 6.52% rate?
Great.
Do they just aggressively ask the seller to drop the price by 20 grand?
Dropping the price is one tactic, but the math reveals a much more powerful mechanism using seller concessions for a rate buy-down.
A rate buy-down.
David Peet's playbook notes that savvy buyers are finding immediate relief by negotiating with the seller to pay points to buy their mortgage rate down up front. Let's break down the math.
Please do.
If a seller drops the price of a $460,000 home by $10,000, it only saves the buyer roughly $60 a month on their mortgage payment. It barely moves the needle on affordability.
$60 is like, nice dinner.
Right. But if the buyer asks the seller to contribute that exact same $10,000 as a concession at closing, the buyer can use that cash to buy down their interest rate from 6.5% to, say, 5.5% for the first 2 years of the loan.
Oh, wow.
That rate buy-down could save the buyer $300 a month in interest payments right now, providing massive immediate relief to their monthly budget.
That is brilliant. You get the lower rate now, effectively creating the 5% environment you were waiting for, but you entirely avoid the future bidding war.
Exactly.
And if the broader market rates drop permanently in 2 years, you just refinance. There's a saying for this.
Yeah.
You marry the house, but you date the rate.
It shifts the power dynamic entirely in favor of an educated buyer. Understanding that mathematical mechanism that a $10,000 concession is vastly superior to a $10,000 price drop is a difference between struggling with affordability and comfortably closing on a home this summer.
Which perfectly segues into our final major data point, the regional context. Because we cannot evaluate Denton County in a vacuum.
No, it's not an island.
We have to look at how it fits into the larger interconnected ecosystem of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex.
The regional context is critical because buyers are highly mobile. A family relocating to North Texas doesn't just look at one county. They look at a massive grid of commute times, property taxes, and school ratings across the whole region.
The sources show a fascinating divergence here.
Yeah.
Dallas County actually experienced a much sharper year-over-year price correction than Denton.
It did.
Depending on which exact Q1 metric you isolate, the Dallas median was down anywhere from 1.6% to 4.1%. Regardless of the specific decimal point, the fundamental truth is that the urban core of Dallas corrected harder and faster than the northern suburban ring.
And that ripple effect is really important to understand.
Unpack the ripple effect of that urban correction. Mm-hmm. How does Dallas County getting cheaper impact a seller up in Denton?
Applying David Peet's 12-plus years of local experience, he's observed the systemic cycle before. The hyperinflation of housing prices during the pandemic pushed thousands of buyers further and further north, out of Dallas, into Collin and Denton counties, simply because they were chasing affordability.
They just drove until they qualified.
Exactly. It turned the northern suburbs into a pressure cooker. But when the urban core Dallas County begins to correct and soften, it relieves that pressure.
It changes the cost of entry across the entire DFW map.
Precisely. A buyer who previously thought they could only afford a home in far north Denton might suddenly realize, because of the Dallas correction, that they can now afford something slightly closer to the city center, perhaps in Carrollton or Farmers Branch.
Oh, I see.
That shift pulls some buyer demand back south, which in turn helps Denton maintain its balanced 4.7 months of supply. It is a highly fluid, interconnected ecosystem where a price drop in one zip code directly impacts the leverage of a seller 30 miles away.
To visualize navigating this ecosystem, the market has essentially transitioned its entire operating system. In 2021, buying a house was like trying to navigate a ship through Class V roaring rapids.
You were just reacting.
You were just holding on for dear life, smashing the button, throwing cash at any house that hit the market, waiving your right to inspect the foundation, just desperately trying not to drown.
Like hungry, hungry hippos.
Exactly like hungry, hungry hippos. Now, in 2026, the market is like navigating a complex system of canal locks or playing a game of chess. The water is calm, but you have to be highly strategic.
You have to think three moves ahead.
You have to pull the right levers at the right time. You have to calculate the 10-year treasury yield, factor in the 65 days on market, negotiate the rate buy-down mechanics, and weigh the year-to-date median against the immediate May bounce.
The canal lock analogy is excellent. Navigating it requires strategy, patience, and a deep mechanical understanding of how the water flows. We can analyze the quantitative numbers from Texas A&M all day, but knowledge is only truly valuable when it is applied to a transaction. So true. For buyers, understanding that the supply is sitting at 4.7 months means they have the time to negotiate thoughtfully. They don't have to sacrifice their protective contingencies just to get a contract accepted. They can ask for roof repairs. They can execute that powerful rate buy-down strategy.
And for the sellers currently tripping their homes.
For sellers, accurate, ego-free pricing is the only path through the locks to a successful summer closing. The supply and demand board is too perfectly balanced to absorb mistakes.
You can't just guess.
If you overprice your home based on historical 2022 nostalgia rather than the immediate 30-day comparable sales, the market will punish you with 90 days on market, a stale listing, and an eventual painful price reduction. You have to be deeply realistic about the $460,000 median and accept the reality of the 65-day slow cooker timeline.
So to you, listening to this right now, standing at that 4th of July barbecue next week, holding your plate of brisket, here is your definitive cheat sheet.
Take note.
Here is exactly what you tell your neighbor when the conversation inevitably turns to how the market is doing. You tell them Denton County is currently defined by a resilient, boring stability.
The best kind of boring.
The transaction volume is holding steady, up just a fractional 1.4% year to date, while surrounding counties shrink. You tell them the pricing is finding a delicate spring equilibrium right around $460,000, but it requires highly realistic expectations from sellers because the winter was undeniably soft.
Very soft.
You tell them the inventory is sitting in the absolute Goldilocks zone at 4.7 months, unless they happen to own a massive luxury ranch, in which case they need the patience of a saint, because land is sitting stagnant for almost 20 months.
A different world entirely.
And most importantly, you tell them the chaotic era of the weekend bidding war is over. The era of the patience premium has returned. Suburban homes take over 2 months to slow cook on the market, but if they're prepped and priced accurately based on today's math, they successfully close for 95.7% of asking.
That synthesis covers the macro environment, the local pricing, the inventory mechanics, and the psychological reality of the transaction. You have successfully decoded the signal from the noise.
But before we let you go, we want to leave you with a final forward-looking puzzle to ponder as you finish off that barbecue.
Something to think about.
We talked at length about the Texas A&M predictions, the very real, mathematically supported possibility that mortgage rates could drop from their current 6.5% perch down into the low 5% range by this coming winter.
It is a scenario that many institutional analysts are actively preparing for as the inflation data cools.
So here is the provocative thought we want you to mull over. If that rate drop actually happens, how will Denton County's delicate, beautifully balanced 4.7-month inventory hold up under the pressure?
That is the big unknown.
Will that hard-fought stability shatter overnight as a massive tidal wave of sideline buyers rushes back into the market to capture the 5% rate, instantly devouring the supply and creating a new era of frantic bidding wars?
It could happen.
Or will the thousands of locked-in sellers who have been trapped in their homes waiting for rates to drop so they can finally afford to move list their homes simultaneously, flooding the market with fresh inventory and keeping the supply and demand scales perfectly balanced?
It represents the ultimate economic standoff. You have massive pent-up demand and massive pent-up supply, both stubbornly waiting for the exact same numerical trigger. Whichever side of that equation moves first and moves with the most volume will entirely define the landscape of the real estate market as we head into 2027.
Which means we're going to have to do another deep dive into the mechanics when the winter numbers finally break cover.
I'll bring the data.
Until then, remember, the diagnostic X-ray of the market might look murky and confusing at first glance, but if you look closely enough at the underlying mechanics, the foundational bones of Denton County are strong. Have a fantastic summer. Enjoy the brisket, and we'll see you next time.